This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. I'm Greta Mart.
The first thing you notice about the old GE building in Fort Wayne is the brick. The entire campus is covered in it. The huge manufacturing buildings, the surrounding workers' cottages, even the road is made out of brick. It feels frozen in time. Like at any moment, the hundreds of people who used to work here could all come flooding back. Kevin Biggs meets me at the door.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Kevin's a developer who has dreams of transforming this old building into a place full of innovation and energy, just like it used to be. He quickly gets me into some protective gear.
So, hard hats, high visibility safety vest, safety glasses, and we even have booties and mittens.
We navigate around the old campus, ducking scaffolding and climbing stairs. Eventually, Biggs leads me into Building 19, onto what used to be the main production floor.
Oh my god. Whoa. This room just goes on forever.
Yeah.
Can you describe it?
So we're standing here with about 25-foot ceilings, you know, walls of windows.
Natural light pours through the frosted windows, showing off all of the damage. There's lead paint flaking off the walls and doorways, and the ground is covered in wooden bricks that have peeled themselves off the floor.
These are actually wood blocks, and as moisture has crept into the buildings, these blocks swell and buckle, and so, it, you know, these aren't from, you know, 10-ton industrial moles crawling through the buildings. It kind of looks like it when the floor is all buckled up the way it is.
It's crazy to think that all this could happen after just 4 years of sitting empty. The floor was bumpy, and it moved a little as we walked over it.
So watch your step, and we'll kind of navigate through. We can kind of come over here.
The air smelled like industrial paint and sawdust. But underneath, there's this musty, abandoned smell. This factory had 20,000 workers during its heyday. It was the place to be for electric innovation, the Silicon Valley of its day. But today, it's empty. Fort Wayne is smack in the middle of the Rust Belt, and old manufacturing buildings like this one are left for dead all the time. I follow Kevin through another abandoned building and up a flight of stairs.
Catch my breath here as we get up.
Yeah, there's a lot of stairs.
Flights. Well, it's five stories, but...
We pass huge steel doors that have started to rust, and puddles of water pooled on the floor.
We're going to keep going all the way up.
Okay.
Finally, after what feels like ages, we reach the roof.
Here we go.
Oh my god, look at that view.
We've got a vantage point of a little over 100 feet.
Up here, you can see the city spread out in every direction. This is where Biggs comes to dream about what the future could hold for this campus. The lights went out at this factory on February 1st, 2015.
I had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. You know, your head just spins about, you know, it was a very sad day.
Kevin Gilliam had worked there for over 30 years. At this point, most of his colleagues and friends had either been laid off or moved to Mexico.
In fact, I was the last guy to walk out of the plant and lock the gate.
Kevin says that it felt like something had died. And in a lot of ways, it had. This was the end of the road for the GE factory that employed people in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for over 100 years. The campus began its life in 1885, when what was then called the Jenny Electric Light Company moved in. James A. Jenny was an inventor who'd created these special arc lamps and dynamos that he wanted to manufacture in Fort Wayne. These were some of the most innovative technologies of the day. Remember, this is 1885. That's just 7 years after Thomas Edison saw arc lighting for the first time in Paris, and 6 years after he invented the light bulb. Now, here it was being adapted and improved in Indiana. The campus was on the cutting edge of electronic innovation for about 100 years. And in 1911, the company, which had already changed hands and names a few times over the years, merged with General Electric. Fort Wayne became a hub for innovation. Things like magnetic wiring and home television sets were invented there.
GE TV, you get it. it better with the GETV. There's nothing like the way it brings in the view, brings in the hue. In black and white or color, GE comes through.
And with all this innovation came a lot of jobs, most of them at General Electric. By World War II, over 20,000 people worked at the campus. That was 40% of Fort Wayne's population. Fort Wayne became like a factory town. There were basketball teams, bowling leagues, and even a company, Santa Claus, who would bring presents to employees' kids at Christmas. It was like a family. That's the world that Kevin Gilliam remembers walking into when he started at GE.
It was absolutely the greatest place to work.
Gilliam came to GE in 1982.
They basically just walked me down to my area. I was a foreman in transformer final assembly. I just kind of had to figure it out on the fly.
Like, he would get phone calls at 2 a.m. about equipment that had broken down or problems on the floor. But he caught on fast. And he loved solving problems and being needed. Gilliam also really liked the guys he worked with. There was this sense of community at the plant that he hadn't found anywhere else. There's this story that Gilliam likes to tell about how the guys really came together after 9/11. At the time, he was working in transformer final assembly.
And they made IDCs.
IDCs are transformers that are used to transfer power across grid systems. And they're huge.
And very, very labor intensive.
Kevin says that it usually took between 12 and 14 weeks to finish a single transformer.
And I remember the Sunday night after 9/11, I got a phone call from a GE executive.
The executive told Kevin that New York City needed 12 transformers as soon as possible.
So the following Monday, I rallied the troops and we split up into first, second, third shifts.
The guys worked around the clock, and they were able to start delivering just 2 weeks later. This was the kind of thing that the factory was good at, coming together as a strong workforce in the face of adversity. But it couldn't overcome the reality that manufacturing in the U.S. was dying. Like a lot of other places in the region, manufacturing started to slow down in the mid-80s. Production was outsourced to Mexico, and over the years, thousands of people lost their jobs. In 2006, GE decided to move its main transformer production to Mexico.
They had me earmarked to be the plant manager down there in Nogales.
Kevin really didn't want to go. He had a life in Fort Wayne, kids, a new house. He wasn't ready to give that all up. But he got lucky. The facilities manager at the plant decided to retire, and Gilliam's boss gave him the job.
I came home and told my wife, and because we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't want to move to Mexico. I just basically had about 5 years to go to get my pension. We just bought a house, and that saved the day.
So Kevin got to stay at the plant for 8 more years. But in 2013... GE announced it would be closing the factory. So for a year, Kevin and the remaining workers closed up the buildings. They drained water lines and boarded up windows.
Then on February 1st of 2015, we all walked out together.
A few years later, the other Kevin, Kevin Biggs, was driving through the old campus. He'd been by the building hundreds of times, but this was the first time he actually saw it.
After you drive past this your whole life, you kind of just, it turns into landscape as it goes by. You don't think much about it.
So Kevin sees this building, and he suddenly gets this burst of inspiration. He pictures the campus completely reimagined, with breweries, startups, restaurants, and even university classes.
We'll have housing, we'll have office, we'll have restaurants, we'll have entertainment, and all those functioning within a campus environment.
He wants to create what's known as an innovation district, the kind of place that the next Apple or Facebook could start, right there in the middle of downtown Fort Wayne. Now, these kinds of places have started popping up all over the country, and the key ingredient seems to be these old industrial buildings. Now, Biggs can give you a list of very solid logical reasons that this works. Density, proximity to large cities and universities. But personally, I like to think that there's something about these buildings, these former industrial giants. Something in their foundation that just breathes out inspiration and innovation. And of course, the towns that they're in also play a huge part in their success. Fort Wayne used to be on the cutting edge of technology. This is a city that brought us arc lamps and home TV sets and refrigerators.
And I always, you know, I ponder, why Fort Wayne? What was so unique about the cornfields here in Indiana that spawned this incredible innovation around electricity? Was it some natural resources we had here? I think the answer is no. It literally was somebody that had an idea that grew, and more people embraced that idea, and pretty soon it just became the center for innovation.
Biggs wants to be the next person with that great idea. So he left that day and started trying to figure out the best way to finance his dream. Biggs teamed up with two other developers, and in 2017, they bought the property. A few months later, they got $50 million from the state to start the project. And so the wheels started to turn. While Kevin Biggs was off dreaming, Kevin Gilliam was having a hard time adjusting to retired life.
It's like my wife said, I'm kind of like a fart in a skillet. I gotta keep doing things.
He talks about how empty and bored he was. He painted every room in his house, cleaned his attic and garage, just trying to fill the days. It was like he had this hole in his life that he just couldn't fill. But about a year later, he got a phone call. It was a GE executive.
Yeah, and they were starting to have break-ins.
There was this vintage General Electric sign on the roof, and kids had started climbing up the six-story building to take selfies with it. So GE asked Gilliam to come back and take care of the campus. He was working this role when Biggs and his partners bought the property, and they saw what a good resource Gilliam could be. So they kept him on as the facilities manager and the story keeper of the building.
It's like a dream come true. I mean, I still feel important because, you know, contractors will call me and ask me questions about things. And, you know, it's just enough to get me out of bed in the morning and give me a purpose and, you know, make me feel pretty good rather than just sit in an easy chair and whittle away at nothing, you know.
Gilliam was actually the one to help the team come up with a new name for the campus, Electric Works. It comes from one of the old companies that used to run the campus before General Electric moved in. If you know where to look, you can still find the name painted in faded letters on the side of one of the buildings. It was one of the first things that Gilliam pointed out to the new owners. An almost invisible part of the campus's history that only he knew about.
Let's walk to the far parapet wall. You can see views of downtown.
Back on the roof, Kevin Biggs looks out over the city of Fort Wayne. Over the town that brought us television sets and home refrigerators and arc lamps. Over this campus that was so important for 100 years, but one that's been thrown away.
So what do you see? What is in your imagination right now for each like little point?
If you Well, the biggest thing in my mind is just the energy that's going to get created here of the activity and the people and the you know, the ideas and the innovation that will occur here, all the companies that are going to flock to these spaces to, you know, add to the economic engine here of Fort Wayne.
I think there's something poetic in this vision, that this old building that gave us so much electric energy is going to be revived by human energy. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm Rebecca Nolan.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.